Parshas Naso, as we know, is a very loaded parsha. There's a lot of different things going on in this parsha with Nazir, with Sota, with the Nesiim. There's a lot of things going on. But actually, I want to focus on something which I think is probably almost never spoken about in Parshas Naso. It's mentioned almost in passing. It's just a couple of psukim towards the beginning of the parsha, which is the concept known as Gezel Hager. Gezel Hager means the following. Let's say you have a person who converted to Judaism, right, and has no halachic relatives, right? Once a person converts to Judaism, they are halachically no longer related to any of their biological relatives, assuming that none of them converted with him. So he's no longer related. Let's say he doesn't have kids, and then the ger dies, you know, he dies without children. So he is what we call in halacha a ger she'ein lo yorshim. He's a person who died as a convert with no one to inherit him. So let's say, for example, somebody stole from him when he was alive, and now the guy died, he has no one to inherit him from. So in other words, normally, if let's say Reuven stole from Shimon, and then Shimon died, and Shimon had kids, then Reuven would have to pay back Shimon's kids. But here, you know, the ger, you know, has no one to pay back. So the Gemara tells us that, and based on the Pesukim in this week's Parsha, that the Pesuk says, V'im ein lo ish goel, if the person has no redeemer, no one to redeem him, so then he has to pay the money back to the Kohanim, and he has to bring a karban. So there are a number of questions that I had on this section. So first of all, the Torah uses a very strange word when it wants to emphasize the fact that this person has no relatives. It says, V'im ein lo ish goel. The person has no redeemer, right? In other words, usually when the Torah talks about a relative, it would use something like the word, you know, karov or krovim. Why does the Torah use the word V'im ein lo ish goel if it doesn't have a redeemer? And also, just a more fundamental question, I think, is why does the money go to the Kohanim? Like, what did the Kohanim do to deserve this money? So, before we address that second question, so just to take a step back for 1 second, the Ramban explains just why exactly this section here about the Gerim, what is it even doing in the beginning of Parshas Naso, in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar? So he explains, basically, that the first four chapters or so, or five chapters or so of Sefer Bamidbar, we're dealing with some of the very minute and very precise details of the formation of the camps of the Jewish people. You know, which Shvatim were situated in which direction of the Machane, very, very, very specific details. And one of the things that you'll notice is that the Erev Rav, who were all converts, were all kind of offset, were all off to the side on their own part of the camp. They were, you know, integrated into the main part of the Machane. So the Ramban says that one might have thought that, well, if someone steals from a ger, maybe a ger somehow is like almost pushed aside, is almost like on the fringes of the Jewish religion. So the Ramban says, no, you see that it's not true. You see that a ger has the same status as everybody else. And we find this concept countless times throughout Chumash, throughout Tanakh, where a ger is supposed to be treated not only with the same level of respect, but actually with more respect to a certain degree than other regular Jews, because he left everything behind to convert to Judaism. That's kind of just a technical point. Why is it exactly that the Kohanim in particular, why the Kohanim of all people are getting the money? So the Chizkuni, one of the Rishonim, has an interesting explanation. The Chizkuni says that the reason why the Kohanim get the money is because, first of all, Hashem loves Gerim. This is a whole separate topic about the relationship that Hashem and the Jewish people in general have with converts. So because Hashem loves Gerim, therefore, when the ger dies and he has no children, he has no one to inherit him, that money is going to go back to Hashem. And Hashem, the people who serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, are, of course, the Kohanim. So Hashem almost grants the Kohanim the right to be able to take that money that used to belong to the ger. But now I want to come back to the technical question that we started with, which is, why does the Pusik use the word goel? V'im ein la'ish goel. The guy has no redeemer. Why not use the word karo? The guy has no relative. So, first of all, when the Gemara is discussing this Pusik, the Gemara has a startling question. The Gemara says, is it possible that that a person cannot have a relative? Does it make any sense for a person to not have a goel, to not have a redeemer? To which the Gemara says, you're right, we must be talking about a convert who died without children, that's why he has no relatives. But the assumption was that if it's anybody else, if it's a regular, you know, a person who was born as a regular Jew, so of course they have relatives, of course they have some someone to redeem them that you would then have to pay the money to if you stole. So first of all, I think it's just an important lesson you see from here that every person, again, even to a certain degree, the Ger who dies without children, everyone has not just a relative, not just, you know, a physical, biological relative, but everyone has a redeemer. Everyone has a goel. Everyone has someone who can come to their aid in their time of need, right? This idea that you can call on someone to help you when you're in a dire situation is really what the goel is all about. The notion, the concept of a goel, of a redeemer, is really emphasizing that concept of I am in a dire situation, I need someone to come and help me. That is the notion of a goel. And of course, that is the whole idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh BaZeh, the notion that every Jew is responsible for one another. And again, there are a lot of different explanations, both from a halachic and from a hashkafic perspective about what exactly that means. But basically, every Jew has the responsibility to look out for everyone else, whether it's for their physical well-being or for their spiritual, emotional, mental well-being. Everyone has an obligation to varying degrees to take care of other people, to make sure that other people are doing well, whether that's, you know, in a time of a pandemic, whether that's in a time where even normal times, or even if somebody thinks someone's having an emotional breakdown, a mental breakdown, everyone needs to look out for everyone else and make sure that you're doing your part. And just to end off, in the end of Parshas Bahar, the Torah talks about the concept of redeeming, of getting back what's called a steachuza, which means like an ancestral field, a field that's been in the family for a long time. So the Torah, when it describes the you know, a redeemer, a relative coming to redeem that field, the pasuk says at the end of Parshas Bahar, it says, O dodo, o ven dodo yigalenu. Either your uncle or your cousin will come and redeem the field. And the question that bothers the Mefarshim there is, why does the pasuk have to specify specifically my uncle or cousin, right? And the pasuk could have just said, and you know, some relative of mine will come and redeem the field. Why does it have to mention specifically an uncle and a cousin? So the Baal HaTurim has an interesting point that he makes. He says that the words dodo and ben dodo, if you spell them without the vav, actually spell ben David, as in Mashiach. That pasuk, which says, O dodo, O ven dodo yigalenu, at the end of Parshas Bahar, is actually in a hidden reference or a hidden allusion to Mashiach, to the ultimate geula of Mashiach. And I think that whenever the Torah uses some variation of the word goel, as in this week's Parsha, or im ein lo ish goel, or back in Parshas Bahar, O dodo, O ven dodo yigalenu, that word goel or yigalenu, that word that relates to redemption, I think is actually reflective of a larger geula, a larger redemption. It's not just my relative comes and redeems my field, or my relative comes and, you know, is gonna get the money back from, you know, that was stolen from me. It's much more than that. Whenever you see the concept of a goel, of a geula, I think it actually symbolizes a larger, almost like a global or like a national geula, the geula that's going to eventually come from Mashiach, which is ultimately going to be brought by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So hopefully we could think about the lessons of Gezel Hager, this notion that when a person steals from a convert who dies without any relatives, to think about this notion of the Ein Lo Ish Goel. It's only that convert, it's only that person who died without relatives that has no one, even he has the Kohanim to turn to, but every single Jew in the world has a Goel, not just physical, biological relatives, which of course most people have, but on top of that, you have a Goel. You have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Mashiach, who eventually is going to come and redeem us, and hopefully should, you know, speedily bring us out of the situations that we find ourselves in now. Okay.